She's a marketing maven. She has defined the marketing strategies for some of South Africa's biggest companies. But here at High FM, we just call her Dina Diamond. This is Monday Marketing.
Dina Diamond, I got a call from News 24 last week, and they said to me that they just wanted to have a conversation. I said, sure. What they wanted to discuss with me is that from August sometime, News 24 is now going to become a pay site. In other words, you're going to have to pay to get their news. And what they wanted to discuss with me was the fact that was I comfortable with it, because my columns are now going to be behind a paywall. Which, and I said, well, if I'm not comfortable, like, then what? But all right, yeah, I'm sure they weren't going to change their approach. But what's interesting to me is that as we've seen the demise of print media, we're starting to see this type of trend. And it's quite a big risk, I believe, that News 24 are taking. They are the number one news site, most read news site in South Africa. They are obviously going to now be demanding something a little bit different if they're going to be asking people to pay for it. But this is, I believe, a reflection of where print media is. What's your thought around that?
So, yeah, Howard, I think as we've seen, there has been a massive shift with print. So the print industry has been under strain for years, since sort of the advent of the internet and sort of mid-2000s. We started when magazines and newspapers were literally at their peak globally. We started to see a decline in numbers of circulation, of advertisers, because people are, or advertisers are, seeing more bang for their buck on a digital environment. So, like, for example, also when people pay for print, it's a very, very expensive exercise. So when you're paying for newspapers, you physically have magazines. The cost of that is very, very high, where the cost for an organization or even an individual to advertise on digital platforms is much cheaper. So what we've seen is that there's been, especially with COVID now, there's just been, the whole situation has been exacerbated. So where there was potentially a 2 to 3 year sort of saving grace for the print industry, COVID has completely decimated that, because revenues are down, advertising's down, people also haven't obviously been able to go out and buy newspapers, buy magazines. So literally, COVID has literally sounded the death knell for print. And this is where, as you said, News 24, they are trying to save their publication, because they're thinking, how do we actually monetize it? So often they're paying for journalists, they're paying for systems. So the actual hard costs are already built in, and they want people to be able to contribute towards that. But we've also seen that globally, there has been a trend for like paywalls and stuff the New York Times, but we've also seen it fail. So because people can get so much for free, so you actually think, do they want to pay for media? And we've also, for example, now with the actual just physical like papers and stuff. So we started seeing, like with Marie Claire, that a few years ago that it wasn't feasible. And Marie Claire is a proper brand, and they literally closed it down. This year, since the onset of COVID, we have seen massive media houses fall. We have seen Cosmopolitan, which has been going for over 38 years. So by this, it's actually done, the holding company was Association Media Publishing, started by Jane Raffaele. And titles such as Cosmo, Woman on Wheels, House and Leisure have all literally ceased to exist since May. Then Caxton came on board, and they closed down a whole bunch of their publications also, which are literally name brands within South Africa. And then Media 24 came along recently and said that they are closing and restructuring part of their business, which would affect 1,100 positions. They're closing 5 magazines, 2 newspapers, outsourcing and reducing the frequency of many of the monthly magazines, and other formats are going digital. So we can see that the actual impact on the print industry is enormous.
So I understand that, you know, journalists need to be paid. I mean, I think in the last 10 years, 10,000 journalist jobs have been lost. And I understand the need for revenue. But where does that, now by monetizing news, where does that leave their responsibility to supply people with news?
So again, this has been a huge debate, because all of these organizations true journalists are absolutely passionate about trustworthy news and valuable news. And we've also seen this, like this whole big, I mean, never mind Trump, but we have seen this huge eruption of fake news, especially with anyone with access to a Twitter account or social media platforms. So the whole point of when we actually see a publication that we trust, so even in the States, like a Washington Post, a New York Times, yeah, even to their point, like a Star or whatever it may be, Business Day, people's perceptions, and this is also shown statistically, and there have been studies done on this, that if people are reading a physical print edition, that it actually is more trustworthy. People trust it more than if they're reading something on the internet.
What's also fascinating is I try and read whatever I possibly can because of what I'm involved with, but there's people often refer to me to an article in Haaretz, which it's a publication I really detest. I never can read them because I refuse to pay for Haaretz because I can't stand what they stand for and I don't want to support them. I don't want to give my money to an organization or a brand that I really don't like or want to support. So it puts people in a very strange position. Although Zanati, to your point, you've always had to pay for news. You've always had to pay for the Star newspaper or the Sunday Times or the Sowetan, whatever it is. We've just become a little bit more spoilt by the internet, which is interesting. Jenny wants to know, is News 24 going to, if it's going to be a pay site, then will there still be ads? So Jenny, I've actually been invited on Thursday, obviously to an online symposium within News 24, where they've invited people that, are involved in this to see the presentation, and it's so I'll have a lot more information around that following that event on a Thursday, and it'll be interesting to see. Unsigned says, how much have airlines lost in advertising revenue from not having people reading the in-flight pocket magazine since March? Absolutely true. A lot of my articles, interestingly enough, land up in these in-flight magazines, and obviously they just haven't existed since March, and of course there's a lot of advertising there as well. Ronnie says, I think they're a bit out of touch with reality if they think that people have money to pay for it, especially when so many have been severely affected by a lockdown. So that is a valid point, because it's interesting, as you were talking, Dina, about the lockdown and magazines, etc., I would have thought that people who like magazines, and especially during lockdown, would have wanted their magazines. They would have actually found a way to be able to act to get them. I mean, you can go to the shops, so I would have thought people would have supported it. But I think to Ronnie's point, magazines are a luxury when you could get it on the internet basically for free.
Yeah, listen, absolutely. Magazines are definitely a luxury. But so when you're actually producing print media, there are two major costs. Number one is obviously your physical print cost. And number two is the real resources that sit behind it. So you're looking at your journalists, your photographers, whichever are the resources and inputs that go into that. And those are actually set costs. So whether or not you're digital and online, or you're creating actual print editions, you're still paying for those resources. So that's why I think it's going to be very interesting, because often those resources cost more than the print, depending on your print numbers, your distribution, your type of print. So obviously magazines use a higher level sort of paper with gloss. That's much, much more expensive than print newspaper.
But it's so nice.
It is nice to hold, and people do prefer, again, statistically, people like, even millennials, funnily enough, Howard, and I
really?
Know,
let's
talk millennials, but even millennials say they like actual physical paper and actual reading. But again, those costs are just so prohibitive. I mean, if we look now, like literally brands that we thought would never go away, men's health, women's health, even the poor runner's world.
really?
I know.
And hold on, did you say men's health?
Men's health gone.
Wow. So how are we going to get a six pack in 6 weeks?
But now this is my thing.
No, because the Nazis, some of us need our hands for our beach body in 6 weeks.
So print, print, we know print is dead.
I feel like you're not taking me seriously.
But no, wait. Sure. But now this whole thing of them saying that they're going to move these print magazines online. Are magazines just in general not out of the picture? Because I feel like you could get all those things from influencers on Instagram.
There are, yeah. There and are, also the, yeah.
Cloud says I should start now.
What you do with that again, you choose, so then it's much more bespoke to you, because when you're online, things come up that are relevant to you. So artificial intelligence is used. So the New York Times, again, that was ahead of the curve, and the Washington Post all use artificial intelligence when they've got their readers online to actually push them to try and subscribe. So they've actually got an increase in subscribers, funnily enough, because a lot of corporates pay for their actual employees to get the New York Post, the Washington Post or the New York Times. And I don't know if you know this, but the Washington Post was actually bought by Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon in 2013 to turn it around.
Yeah. Howard, I've got some great suggestions for you on men's health tips. And there are fitness influencers there on Instagram.
No, so Instagram definitely. Well, that is interesting because we do have that. If I want the same things over and over again, I can go to Instagram. I don't need it on men. I don't think Men's Health has had an original article in 15 years.
But that's not the point. I have to tell you, I was at Wellness Warehouse the other day and they gave me a wellness magazine. And in it, it talks about immunity and health and well-being and all of that. And all the articles, again, they are completely, they say exactly what all the other articles I've ever read are. And I was actually thinking exactly that this isn't new content. But the truth is you need to read it continuously.
Yeah, that is true.
Even though you know it, you do need to read it again.
But here's a very disturbing one. Unsigned says, I absolutely love this SMS. How are Jewish children going to do their Afrikaans homework without Huisgenoot?
You magazine. So I have to tell you.
It's true. I think it's a very good point.
No, you can relax. Because they have announced that the flagship weeklies of Huisgenoot, and Landbou Weekblad, which I personally have never read, will continue to be produced and published in-house. So there is some sanity prevailing.
Right. Okay, because they ended the message, cry the beloved country. No, so we don't need you yet. there is still hope yet. Wow. But isn't that interesting? Because U Magazine, and I'm assuming Huisgenoot, I mean, U Magazine does have all of these stories. It is like reading, like going through Facebook, isn't it?
It is.
So they've somehow captured.
But again, look at the quality of the print, right? It's not a high gloss, beautiful magazine. So the cost is less. So where the actual problem is coming is that advertisers have all taken a whack. So businesses are closed. They're in financial distress. They're looking where they can cut. Where do they cut? That always goes straight to that marketing budget to cut and find some sort of cost savings. And so obviously the magazines and the newspapers survive on the advertisers. They actually rely on advertisers to remain financially viable. Mm. And now with the onset, a lot of the advertisers have actually pulled out, and that is what is causing this major upset.
So what about the neighborhood newspapers? Because community newspapers generally would offer something different to that which the internet would offer. You'd get localized news. You'd get news relevant to your neighborhood, advertising relevant to your neighborhood. Are those still, and at one stage, those were the only really successful print publications. Is that still the case?
So it looks like those are remaining. So a lot of people put classifiers in those. So the smaller businesses that actually are in that particular area and will have a direct sort of impact on their business will advertise still in those papers. So I don't know what the financial situation looks like, particularly like in things like the Sandton Chronicle or Rosebank Gazette or those things. I would imagine that they also have come under strain. I think all community newspapers have come under strain because, again, they've got their fixed costs of people, of the actual resources, of writers, of freelancers. I mean, we've seen a massive impact on freelancers who were relying 100% on their income from freelance articles, which have now obviously been cut. But I don't know what the actual impact of those community papers will be. And I think it will be interesting to see that. I do know that they are still going and there have been no actual announcements that they're closing yet. Again, those classifieds used to make up huge. I mean, I don't know if you ever remember sort of the Hatch Patch Match and Dispatch column. That was like the only place you could actually find out if someone was getting married, having a baby, passed away. Now everything's so close to the internet, social media has sort of just disintermediated everything, and everything is literally at a touch of a button and all sort of made for you. So that's always been the biggest problem.
Linda says, gosh, I'm chatty today. I'm happy to buy magazines at the hospice shop. At Seapoint Cape Town also has great charity shops. So, is this the same trend that's happening overseas? I mean, what are we seeing from the likes of, GQ, Vanity Fair, these types of magazines?
Yeah, so obviously those are sort of much higher brands, and their parent companies can actually sort of withstand it more. There's a lot of diversification in those businesses. So those titles may not necessarily just be owned by us. They're not just media companies. You know what I mean? They've got other forms of income and income streams, which sort of supplement the ability to publish. But those are also high-end brands that are read by a high-end market that maybe is not necessarily as impacted as much through COVID. Whereas I think titles like Cosmo, Marie Claire, that's more like it is kind of a spoil to get those, and their market may not be as high income as the Vogue and the Vanity Fair, because those are expensive publications. But we definitely have seen overseas, globally, literally an entire decline in the print industry, as I say, from 2000s with the advent of the internet. I'll tell you a country where that hasn't happened, which is very interesting, is in India. So India, China, and Japan were the only countries where media circulation was actually growing. Again, I think because of the nature of the population and the fact that also people reread publications many times. So you've got your actual number of publications that you publish, and then you've got your reach. So how many people reread that publication? Right, so there could be 5 to 6 people. Maybe in India there's 20 people that reread one publication. So that was a very interesting sort of trend. And it actually is still the case in India.
Ronnie says, I think that as long as readers enjoy Jerry Springer type of stories, You magazine will their position is safe. Nothing wrong with that. I love it. And Kathleen says, I think it's a big mistake to weed magazines out. During lockdown, magazines were a saving grace. There is still nothing as comfy as cuddling up with a magazine and chocolates and relaxing. They have proved that reading everything digitally is bad for your eyes and does cause sleep issues. I have to agree with Kathleen. There is nothing for me. It's a holiday thing, you know. It's the only time I ever read magazines is on holiday. But it's just there's nothing quite as relaxing. Well, this is a story that certainly we're going to keep following as the world evolves and as things keep changing. Dina Diamond, thank you as always. Fascinating conversation.